Well, the word's good. Amen. This is our hope. This is our help. This is where we get our change. Praise God. And if you have your Bibles, you can open them to John chapter 16 and verse 33. Hopefully in the future we'll be upgrading, in the near future, upgrading. I know that maybe the camera we have is HD, high definition, but the computer that we have right now, the speed and the things that we need to support that is not there at this time, but God provides and we'll have that soon. And then you'll be able to see me even clearer. I'm not sure that's a good thing, but hopefully you won't mind. And at least I'm far away. That's a good thing. But anyways, we'll have that soon and excited about that. Things are happening. Praise God. And I just encourage you to follow along in your Bibles. Come to church in your with your Bible. Praise God. And hopefully in the future, too, we'll have the scriptures in the screen. They'll be in probably the lower right corner of the screen, as well as the worship lyrics. So good things coming, but we're believing we're not going to have to do this for the long term. But when we do come back to having service, we're going to keep our video live stream going, and we're going to set that up in Allegheny. So good things anyways, praise God. But let's pray before we get into the Word. You don't need to hear from me, you need to hear from Him. So let's believe Him for utterance. You don't want man's ideas, man's plans, or man's opinions. Let's get God's thoughts tonight. So let's ask Him for help. Father, we're just so grateful, so thankful for the opportunity to be in church tonight. Lord, Father, I thank You that Your Word can go through walls, praise God. Your Word can go and pass through the streets and go into counties, into people's homes and touch and change their lives. And Father, we know that this is not a permanent solution. This is not something that we would stay with forever of just saying we're going to stay home for church, because we know what the Word says. But Father, the way You've guided us and directed us in this abnormal time, this unprecedented time, Father, we'll be blessed for obeying You. So, Father, I thank You for those that are hungry right now, those that are at home that have made the time to gather around their computer, their phone, their iPad, whatever device it is that they're viewing or listening on. And, Father, I thank You that You're going to touch hearts and change lives tonight. Father, I thank You that I'm going to say things that's going to strike bullseyes in their heart. Father, when I open my mouth, I'm asking You to fill it with words from heaven. The way Paul prayed was, he said, I pray that I would speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom. That's my prayer tonight. Paul said, grant unto me that I would speak with boldness and utterance. So, Father, I thank You that bold utterance comes out of my mouth tonight. Whatever You want to say. Father, You know what people are dealing with. You know the thoughts they're having. You know the situations and things that they're going through. So, Father, I thank You in the name of Jesus, Lord, that they get their help tonight, that answers are given tonight. Hope and help come in the form of Your Word tonight. And, Lord, we're not going to give the ministry praise, and we're not going to give the minister praise, but we're going to lift You up, Father, and thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in John 16:33. If you didn't listen to or view in on Sunday's message, this is kind of building upon that. We're going in a little different direction, but it'll help you. I encourage you to get on the archives and watch that service. It will be a blessing to you. Amen? It will be a blessing to you. But in John 16:33, in my Bible, it's red letters, which of course means that Jesus spoke this. It says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Notice Jesus didn't say be of good cheer because you'll never have tribulation. No, He said you can be of good cheer because you're going to have tribulation. You can't escape it. That's tests, trials, persecutions, different things. But He said you can be of good cheer because He's overcome it. And the Bible says in Him, or in Christ, we can have these things. The Bible doesn't just say that Jesus is an overcomer. The Bible says that we are overcomers. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors. Well, what's that talking about? Well, it's not talking about on our own. Pastor Mike Anderson can't do very much on his own, but if I do it through Him, I become more than a conqueror. Praise God, and that's true. Hallelujah. So we are excited about that. But the Bible does promise us that we're going to face tests. We're going to have trials. And one of the main areas right now that people are being tested in, I've talked to several people. You read about it. You see it going on in the news and online. And just natural common sense would tell you is the area of finances. Great testing is going on right now in the area of finances. You know, in different ways, right? Maybe your business is considered non-essential and they've closed you down for the time being and you're not getting a paycheck. Or maybe you went to unemployment and it's going to be way less than you normally made. Or maybe you lost any hope of income at all. Maybe your business has changed a little bit and it's going to affect the bottom line. Maybe your stock market, the Wall Street, your 401ks, whatever. Maybe naturally it looks like it's taken a hit and people are facing tests and trials right now. Now, I want to help you pass this test.
Praise God.
Because I'm here to tell you something. This is going to pass.
Amen.
But will you pass? I want you to pass. This will pass. But will you pass the test? I want to help you pass the test. Now, here's the good thing. Maybe you say, Pastor Mike, I'm actually not affected by it at all. Well, the good news is this message is not just for financial test. This message will cover any test you're going through. So maybe a test right now is with your children. Maybe a test right now is in your physical health and in your body. There's lots of different tests. Man, I wish in school they just gave me one. But it seemed like every class I was in, there's a different test. Well, in life, there's different tests. And God doesn't want you to fail any of them. And so you say, Pastor Mike, this isn't for me. Well, maybe you say, right now, I'm going through no tests. So, man, tell me your secret. Email me your secret of the no test life. Because I've yet to find that life. But maybe say, I'm not going through anything specific right now. You will. Well, how do I know? Jesus just told you. He just told you that you will. So just get ready. Just be patient. Your test is coming. Amen. Hallelujah. It's true. That's not doom and gloom. That's the Bible. But we don't have to be doom and gloom about the test. Jesus said, be of good cheer. Why? He's overcoming them. And through him, we overcome them. So I want to help you overcome those tests. I want to help you overcome this trial, specifically financial, because this is going to pass, but are you going to pass? And going forward, I want to make sure that we are completely grounded and aware of something. I know we have a lot of new people at times and visitors that come, and you know, a lot of idea of the body of Christ and the way God is, people sit around and say, if God wants to do something, God's going to do something, but we've learned a secret around here. That's not what the Bible teaches. That in fact, I'm going to make a statement, and this might blow your hair back a little bit, but how your life turns out has way more to do with you than it does God. Now, before you turn me off and say, blasphemy, Pastor Mike, that's sacrilegious, how can you say that? Let's let the Bible do the talking. Because if you're not fully grounded, and those that have come here in Allegheny and South Dayton, you know this, it's in you, but hearing the Word will build more faith. But those that are newer with us, you need to know something. Real quick, I want to go to two things. Go to Mark 9:23 and 1 John 5 and verse 4. This will wake you up in a test. Because a lot of times when we go through tests, wouldn't it be amazing if when we were in school, oh, I sure would have loved this if the teacher would have took the test for me. And we think that God's just going to get us through it, that God's just going to do it. You're the one taking the test. You're the one that has to have the passing answers. You're the one that has to fill in the right answers in the blanks. Amen? Not him. And that's what the Bible teaches. But so many places, so much you hear in Christianity, just waiting for God to do something. And then people are sitting around waiting a long time, and then they just chalk it up to, well, God must not love me. God's against me. God wants to do for everybody else. No, you have a part to play. Everybody at home right now, you say this with me. I have a part to play. I know you're saying it. It's true. You know, this verse will wake you up. These verses will wake you up. You know what really woke me up in life? Do you want to know what really woke me up in life? Having a child woke me up. I was going to say having a son because that was my first, but it would have been a girl in the same way. But having a baby woke me up. I mean, all of a sudden there's this little alien. I mean, my son Caleb, he looked like an alien coming out. I was like, put him back. He's cute now. We joke about it all the time. But man, I don't know what happened. But he came out looking like something. A little alien little thing. And they get him all cleaned up. You know, he looks a little better. And he's crying. And they give him to me. And I realize, wow. This kid's life rises or falls based on me. Of course, Courtney as well. Don't misunderstand me. But I knew that I had a major part to play in how he turns out. Whether he's healthy, whether he's protected, whether he's provided for. Wouldn't that have been something if I'd have just said, God will do it. Child would go hungry. Well, God will clothe him. The child would go without clothes. Well, God will protect him. The child would be unprotected. And that woke me up. This verse needs to wake the body of Christ up. In Mark 9:23, I'm going to two different places. Look at what Jesus says. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, not if Jesus can do it, not if God wants to do it, not if God's able to do it, if you can believe. That's a big if. That means it hinges on something. He said, if you can believe, he said, all things are possible. Well, what's an all thing in this situation? The test you're in. It's possible for you to not only pass this test. You know, when I pass tests in school, I got by the hair, what do they say, the hair of your chinny chin chin, which those of you that know me, I don't have very much of it. I wish I had more, but I can't grow a beard. But the hair of my chinny chin chin, I just get by on. How so? You know, passing grade would be 65, and I'd get 60, 68, 70, 74, just getting by, you know. No, God wants you to get an A+. God wants you going through with flying colors, praise God. And it's possible. Why? Jesus said all things are possible. Yeah, but Pastor Mike, you don't know how much my 401k took a hit. So what's your point? God's bigger than that number. Amen. Yeah, but you don't know my bills and what's coming in and now my job's cut. And what's your point? All things are possible. But you have to understand what it hinges on. Just like, see, there's a birth here tonight. Just like there was a birth and they handed me that baby. And all of a sudden I realized, wow, I better wake up. I better do the right thing or this child's in trouble. You've just been handed something that tells you, wake up and you better do the right thing because all things are possible, not just because he can and not just because he wants to. You got to believe it. Yeah. 1 John 5 and verse 4, that's what the whole message was about on Sunday, was him providing your needs based on him and not what it looks like. Right. Amen. 1 John 5 and verse 4 says, whatsoever's born of God. Well, I'm here to tell you, I'm born of him. Amen. January 10th, 2002, in a hunting cabin in Youngsville, Pennsylvania, I gave my life to Jesus and I became a child of God. I became born again, or born of God. And the Bible says that when I became born of God, whatsoever's born of God overcometh the world. Remember Jesus said in John 16:33, you're going to have tests and trials, but be of good cheer, I've overcome them. Well, big deal for him. No, the big deal is that through him we inherit that overcoming DNA. Did you know you have overcoming DNA flowing through you? You do. Victory flows through your veins, praise God. And the Bible says, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. Now notice what it says. This is the victory that overcomes the world. They that are moral. They that go to church faithfully. They that pray the most. No. The Bible says the victory that overcomes, what do you need to overcome in the world? The tests. People are in real life tests right now that you're either going to pass or fail. How do you overcome them? This is the victory. I'm telling you right now. Here it is. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even Jesus' faith. No, I didn't say that. Even God's faith. Even your pastor's faith. No. The Bible says whether or not you overcome that which is thrown at you in the world in this day and time, in the age that we're in 2020, in unprecedented things that we've ever seen, causing things to happen in our lives, causing our lives to be flipped upside down, and things to be in seemingly turmoil and trouble, the Bible says that the way that you're going to come out of this, overcoming it, is by your faith. Now, if you don't like that, you don't like the Bible, because that's what the Bible says. Amen. That's what the Bible says. So we need to get that out of the way right off the bat. That whether or not you pass this test is not up to him. Just like it wasn't up to the teacher. It was up to the test taker. Amen. So let's pass, and I want to help you pass with flying colors. Amen. Go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 2. The book of James towards the back of the New Testament, right after the book of Hebrews. James chapter 1 and verse 2. I'll give you a minute to turn there. Now, here we are in a test. I've talked to people. Stock markets look certain ways. Their jobs, maybe they're a two-income home, now cut to one. Maybe they're no income. They're depending on unemployment. Maybe their business has been completely rocked and flipped upside down. Whatever it is, we're going to pass this thing. And I'm going to teach you now how to take the test. Because how many of you know when you take a test in school, you can't just do anything you want? No, you can't just do anything you want when you take a test in school. Well, I mean, I tried, you know, wrote everything on my hand, but that wasn't allowed. Not allowed to do that. You know, have hand signals with my friends, and this meant A, this meant B, tap on the ankle meant C. Can't do that. That's not allowed. Bring the answers in your hat. You know all the ways. And the Bible doesn't say you just go through a test, you don't know a way to get victory either. We know starting off the bat, we better come in with faith, praise God. But I want to teach you the biblical way to take a test. Amen. We're in a test. We got to take it. If you got to take it, you might as well pass it. Amen. So let's find out the biblical way to take a test. James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or various temptations. That word temptations means tests and trials. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh or produces patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. Now, I'm going to go down through here a list of four things that we're going to look at tonight that are going to help you to take this test, overcome this test, pass this test with flying colors, and come out the other side better than you were before. Yeah, that's what I said. Before the coronavirus reared its ugly head, you were in a situation, but when this is all said and done, you're not going to be just back to that situation, because we don't just go back to where we were. We go from glory to glory. So my faith and my plan, because the Word of God says it, is I'm not going to be, and just I just want to get back to where I was. No. I want to go further than I was before. That's what we're going to help you with. Praise God. And so here we go. And number one, this is what I want to tell you in taking this test. Start right. So what's that? What are you talking about? I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about. You have to go into this thing with the right mindset. Now, faith would be that mindset you have to, that's to start you, you know, to let you know, hey, this is on me. You know, like when they hand me that baby, it's on you. Don't make me tell the story of when I changed Caleb's first diaper. They told me, they said, hey, put the Desitin on his rump. So I just did a little dab on one cheek and a little dab on the other, and the nurse looked at me and I could read her eyes and her body language. She was thinking, we're sending this child home with him? I'm here to report Caleb is alive and well. We're doing good. She said, that's not just where that Desitin goes. I'll let you all use your imagination. Not just a dab on one cheek and the dab on the other cheek. You got to start right. Have the right mindset. Amen? Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Let's establish some things right in the beginning of this test, all right? Amen. Let's get something right off the bat that will absolutely strip this test of its scariness, of its intimidation, those bills looking like something from the movie Little Shop of Horrors, or I don't know, all the horror movies, and they're staring at you, and the job reports in your stock market, and you're checking online, and your business is saying this, and they're roaring at you. We're going to take the scary right out. You see, remember the Wizard of Oz, the big, bad, scary wizard? But what happens when they unveiled the curtain? Wasn't a big, bad, scary wizard. It was a little, frail, old man. Amen. So let's take the scary out of that test, whether it's financial or not financial, that's bearing down on you and intimidating you. It's time to unveil that thing and let you know what's behind that curtain. Let me get to where I'm going. I'm yapping too much. Oh, praise God. 2 Corinthians, I think I'm in the right place here. 2 verse 14. Now look at the word says. Either believe it or you don't. Now thanks be unto God, which, what's the next word, gentlemen?
Always.
But what about coronavirus? Always. But what about when the stock market? Always. But what about when they cut our income? We only have one and we used to have two. Always. What if I only had one income? Now I have no income. Always. But what if unemployment's way less than it's? Always. But what if my business? Always. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. There it is. In who? Christ. That's why Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We can be of good cheer because in Him it enables us to overcome. Hallelujah. And maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. But notice what the word says right off the bat. You always are caused to triumph. Well, if I have to triumph over things, if I'm going to be triumphant, there's going to be some things in life that I'm going to have to be triumphant over. That means that when tests come, He already tells you what can be your result. Triumphant. Not skimming by. Not by the hair of your chinny chin chin. Triumphant. That's what the Bible says. 1 John 4 and verse 4. 1 John 4. Now what are we doing? We're taking the scary out of the test. Yes, we are. We're taking the scary right out of the test. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. You are of God, little children. Well, I know He's writing that to me because I'm of Him. I told you already, January 10, 2002, I became born again into a new family. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. There it is again, overcoming. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And the one that's in the world is the one that stirs up all the mess, stirs up all the trouble, brings all the intimidation and all the fear. And the Bible says living in you is the greater one. When are you going to wake up and realize, body of Christ, the greater one is in you that's greater than anything this world can throw at you? Greater than unemployment. Greater than business being cut back. Greater than your IRA and stock markets. Greater than the sickness in your body. Yeah, praise the Lord. Is it still legal to itch my ear? Okay, because I know I touched my face a couple times. I know that people are probably at home yelling at me, but I can still do this. I'll wash my hands after. I'll touch nobody. I'll breathe on no one. I promise. I'm not making light of it, but I know I have bad habits that I got to get out of, but I just want to make sure it's still okay to itch my ear. Praise God. You need to start right in this test. What do I mean? Right now, going forward into this thing, you know right now, I already know the outcome of this. I'm triumphant. Greater is He that is in me. You have to start right or you're going to be taken out in this thing. If you go into this thing thinking there's a chance, I'm not going to make it. Start imagining it in your head. That's not what the Word says. Either He's true or not. I'll cause you to triumph in me. Well, in Him is in faith too. I was, there's two things that I don't do very much of. And when I say very much of, I mean ever. BMX bike racing and snow skiing. Now let me tell you why. I started wrong. What do you mean? Well, my stepdad and his son, my stepbrother, they were into that when he was a teenager and it looked fun to me. I mean, you ride your bike around a dirt course, jump hills and stuff, and that looks cool. So yeah, sign me up. My first and last race went like this. I'm in the starting block. Oh, I'm ready. You know, just I think I can take on the world. This is my first race ever. I know how to ride a bike. I know how to go over jumps. I didn't even make it out of the starting block. The things fell down. I don't know what in the world happened, but I went over the handlebars, and I was eating dirt, and everyone was going past me, and I just remember everybody getting up and looking at everybody going and looking over at my family, and I think they were wanting to disown me. Who is that? We don't know him. And so I got on that bike and just pedaled as fast as I could. And there I was going around the track all by myself. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't going high flying like I thought. It was just, whoop, doop. And then I came back and I said, I'm done. But what was the problem? It turned me on. I started wrong. You say, what about snow skiing? The one and only time I went snow skiing, they had no ski boots that would fit around my calves. And so we strapped them on, and little did I know, it was cutting the circulation off from my body. And so I was started to go up to one hill. The pain was so bad, the boots kept snapping off. I started wrong and stopped the whole thing. You can't start wrong. You can't start wrong in this test with the what ifs. How about you just believe God? Just take Him at His word. Just know right now, no matter what it looks like, I'm going to be victorious because God's promised me. Praise God. Second thing I want you to see, go back to James chapter 1 and verse 2. Don't start wrong. You got to have the right mindset. You see, when Jesus went into the wilderness to be tested of the devil, the Bible said He did. Luke chapter 4, it says Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tested of the devil. He didn't go into that test with the mindset, I wonder if I'm going to make it out of here. I wonder if I'm going to make it out of here bruised and beaten and battered and a slave to the enemy. No. He went in there knowing, yeah, there's a test coming. And it might not be pretty at times. It might not be, it's not always enjoyable. Some of the things Jesus went through in that test, you know, you don't eat for 40 days. That's not enjoyable. I mean, I go 40 minutes and I'm like, where's the food? That's true, you know, Jesus went 40 days. But He didn't go into that test wondering if He was going to make it out okay. He went into that test knowing, I'm already victorious. I'm just going to walk this thing out. You know, there were so many people in my classes that I begged them to let me cheat off them, and they would say no. Oh, I'm thinking some of the girls that I begged, and they said, Mike, stop asking me. Study your own paper. But they went to take the test. They didn't have the same apprehension. They didn't have the same fear when they sat down at the desk. They knew going into that test, nothing that comes my way is going to cause me to fail, cause me to get a bad grade. I just got to walk this thing out. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the greater one on the inside of us. All we have to do is walk this out the right way, and we'll be victorious. Amen. It's true. And here we go. We're gonna get into that now. James here, let me get there. James chapter 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. James chapter 1 in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you enter into different tests and trials. Look at the first thing God tells you to do when you take a biblical test. Count them joy. Joy. Now listen to what it says. I'm going to read a couple different translations here to bring it out, to make you see it even more. It says, consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you, this is the Amplified, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Count it wholly joyful. Listen to what it says in the Message Bible. Consider it a gift, a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come from you at all sides. I want to do things God's way, because God's way is victory. Okay, the first thing you need to do is stop whining and moaning and groaning about the test you're in. Because you're taking the test wrong. Teacher comes over to my desk, Mike, you got to put the textbook away. You're taking the test wrong. You can't use ink, you got to use pencil. You're taking the test wrong. God tells you how to take a test. First and foremost, count it joy. Amen. Joy is not, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? My bills, the stock market, oh my job, what am I going to do? That's not counting it joy. That's not counting it joy. Now, that word joy there in the Greek means this, the cause or an occasion of joy. Think about occasions that have brought you joy. I instantly think of the birth of my children. Here they were. Wow, in 9 months, they're hidden behind a belly. And there they are all of a sudden. Wow, they're here. And it was such a joyous, Caleb's was a little bit tense at first, but once everything was fine, it became joyous in the sense the atmosphere became joyous. It was a battle of faith at first. Some of you have heard some of those testimonies. But anyways, the birth of my children brought joy to me. God says, when you're in tests and trials, you're to count it joy. Now, that's backwards from what the world would tell you, what friends and family might tell you, what the news and the media will tell you. They'll tell you, what are you going to do? You ought to be afraid. How can you not be afraid? This is going on. Did you see your bank account? Did you hear about the job? We don't know when this is going to end. You might be without an income for 18 months. We've heard all sorts of numbers. And the Bible says, in the midst of that fiery trial, you ought to be in joy. If you're not in joy, you're not in faith. Did you hear what I said? If you're not in joy, you're not what? In faith. Praise God. If you're not in joy, you're not in faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. Romans 15, 13, because I just made a statement. Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? Believing. What's believing? Faith. We know, how do we overcome the world? I told you already at the beginning, through your faith. But do you know what accompanies faith? Joy and peace. Oh, you're being harsh, Pastor Mike. You don't understand. No. I'm being helpful. I'm trying to get you to pass the test. If you're not in joy and in peace, you're not in faith. If you're not in faith, you're not in overcoming mode. I'm sorry to tell you. The Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world. Not begging to Him. Not just being in a horrible, hellish-like situation. That doesn't cause God to move. He said, your faith will cause me to move. And the Bible says, fills you with joy and peace in your believing. True faith is accompanied with a bodyguard on each side of it. Joy on one side, peace on the other. And if you're not in joy and in peace in your trial, you're not in faith. Yeah, because true faith believes they have the victory. It's the truth. Count it all joy. Think of some of your most joyous occasions. Does it translate to this test? Well, better after tonight. If we're going to pass this thing, because God tells you first and foremost in this test, count it joy, count it joy, count it joy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go with me to James chapter 1 and verse 2 again. We're going to read that and go down to verse 3. We're going to look at the third thing the Lord has showed me. Lord showed me, number one, He said, start right. Number two, count it joy. Now, how in the world can you count losing your income, facing things in your body, how can you count that joy? Well, the Bible's going to tell you how to count it joy. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various tests and trials. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh or produces patience. So the third thing that you need to do, number one, start right. Number two, count it joy. Number three, to be able to count it joy and to pass this test, you better know something. He says, count it joy, brethren, verse 2, when you fall into various tests and trials, knowing this. So if you don't know some things, you're not going to be able to count it joy. But he says you can count it joy if you know some things. So if you're sitting there thinking, Pastor Mike, you're nuts to think that I could be as joyful as the day my babies were born or whatever made you joyful in your life. You say, that's not possible when I lose my income. That's not possible when they cut my job. That's not possible when the bottom line of my business is being threatened. When I log on to my Charles Schwab account and see that's taking a major hit. How can I be in joy? If you're not in joy, it's because you just don't know something. But the Bible says if you'll know something, you can then count it joy. Knowing what? That the trying of your faith or the testing of your faith produces or worketh patience. Listen to what it says in the Amplified. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trying and proving of your faith bring out endurance, steadfastness, and patience. Praise God. Consider it a sheer gift, the Message Bible says, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. Listen to the Amplified says, be assured and understand that the trial and proving your faith bring out endurance, steadfastness, and patience. Now, the way that you're going to be able to count it joy, and the King James says it produces or works patience. The way you're going to be able to count a test that you're in right now, joy, is because you know some things. But what do you know? This is what you know. Are you ready? Hallelujah. In the midst of a test and trial, precious, precious things that you'll need in the future to get you over some bigger mountains, bigger tests. During the test and trial, the testing of your faith, you're being downloaded with precious things. Now, I'll tell you what those precious things are in a second. But I think about my computer. There's times I want to use my computer. Or there's times, Caleb and I got a video game thing so we can play a football game together. Every once in a while, the weather's bad, we play. And times we get bored, we play video games against one another. But there's times that you want to use the computer. Maybe you want to use your phone. Or maybe you want to use the video game system. And there's an update required. Or a download that's required. So during that download, a lot of times, not for everything, but some things, you're unable to use them. You have to wait till the download's over, and it can be inconvenient. You can get impatient. You can say, this isn't comfortable, whatever. But you know that those downloads that go into it are making that device better to last longer, to be able to do more things, to be able to do better things. Well, when you go through a test, things are being downloaded in you for the future. Things like what? Well, remember what it said in the Amplified: steadfastness, endurance, and patience. You say, what in the world are those good for? Ladies and gentlemen, we will face tests in our lives, and there'll be some tests that will require a greater level of faith, a greater level of endurance, a greater level of patience. Just like there's certain things you can't do with an old iPhone because it needs the latest update, right? You need to put a different download in there to get it to do newer things. Well, there's going to be tests that you're going to encounter that are going to require different types of answers, different types of responses, different type of faith. And I mean different type, I mean a different level. Endurance, steadfastness, and patience, or produces patience. So, now, when we know this now, that we can count it that way, joy that way, if we know that going through this, this isn't for nothing. Things right now, the reason you count joy, you shouldn't look at it as, I have to go through this test we're facing. You know, the greatest faith I've ever acquired for my own self has been coming out of the greatest tests in my life. The greatest victories, and I'll get that to point four, the greatest victories I've ever had came from trials that happened previous that put things in me and now was ready for the bigger fight. You know, when a boxer works his way up to the heavyweight champion of the world, he doesn't start day one with the heavyweight champion of the world. He fights someone on more of his level, but when he beats him, some things are put in him. Now he's going up to a new level. Why? I'm good here. Things are put in him, and he keeps going up and up and up. It's the same thing with us. Things are being put in you. Stop looking at it as, I have to go through this test. This coronavirus has messed up my life. Why? Look, no. I get to take a test, prove my faith, and get things in me downloaded for the next thing that's going to come, because we know on the other side of those mountains is great victory. On the other side of the storm is always great victory. And there's going to be storms. If you think this is the last test and trial you're ever going to face, and this is the most intense trial you're ever going to face, you're probably wrong. And there's going to be great victories for you in your life, that great opposition's going to come. 2 Corinthians 16, verse 9 says that when there's a door of opportunity, there's many adversaries at the door. So if you plan on increasing, if you plan on going forward in your spiritual life with God, in your finances, in your family, don't expect to do it unchallenged. And the greater the victory, the greater the opposition. And when you face greater opposition, just like that boxer when he fought his first fight, can't bring the same thing to the ring that he brings in his 25th fight against the heavyweight champion of the world. So instead of saying, I have to go through this, why do I have to go through this? I get to go through a test. I get to get the proper downloads in me to get me ready, because this isn't the end. 2020 is not the end. This isn't the end of my finances. The job I'm at now, that income's not the end for me. Where my business is now, it's not the end for me. Where my level is in my 401k, that's not the end for me. I'm going to greater. And if I'm going to go to greater, more tests are going to be there. And I need some things downloaded in me. That's why we count it joy. Not, oh, I'm so thankful for, thank you, Lord, for, he's not sending the test. We know he's not the author of coronavirus and the job cuts. We count it joy. Father, I thank you. Things are being put in me. I get to use my faith. I get to please you. The Bible says, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Yeah. Necessary downloads. Necessary updates. You know, I think about, we have that testimony, most of you from Allegheny South Dayton know that when we built this building, towards in the middle of the building, when we already had the funding set and everything, they came and said that the state's requiring us to put a sprinkler system in here. Well, because of where we'd have to get water from and just different things, it was going to end up being an additional $100,000. And how many of you know what? That's... I'd like to have that in my pocket. You know, it's not a small number by any means. And it can bring, we already are talking about almost $500,000 and things like that. Another $100,000 added on to it, when you already have the finances secured, it can tempt you to get into worry and fear. And when I went through that and they told me that, I'm just telling you the truth, I'm not big bad Pastor Mike. It was because of what had happened before, which I'll get to. Things had been downloaded and put in me. See, my iPhone can do what any iPhone can do now. There's nothing too hard for it because the latest downloads and updates were put in. Some people are still operating on iOS whatever on their iPhone. I don't even know what iOS we're up to, but I'm at the latest and greatest. And some people are still there, and they can't do the same thing as I can with my phone. Their phone's not as quick. The processor's not quick. They can't do different things with camera, whatever. The necessary things were put in. Well, I went through a test and trial before the test and trial for the sprinkler system that put some things in me. And when they said $100,000, I said, no big deal. Lord, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to believe for the money, or do you want me to believe that they're going to change the law? I'll do whatever you want me to do. I didn't care. Didn't stay up at night. Didn't pace the floor. Didn't worry about it. The money wasn't there. Where's it going to come from? But the only reason I was able to handle that is because the necessary downloads and updates were put in me. Well, when was that put in me? Oh, years before, when I started this church and left my full-time job to pastor a church with a new baby on the way. And God told me to stay home with my son, have her keep her job, and then I'll watch Caleb during the day. When she comes home, I'll pastor the church for free. Did that for 2 years. And for 2 years, every single month, at the beginning of the month, the numbers showed that we were $2,000 short from paying our bills and all the necessities of our lives every single month. That's the test I faced. That's the test I faced. And you think going through it, oh, that wasn't fun. But I'll tell you what, it was some of the most precious times of my life to believe God, to watch God work. I had to get patience put in me. You know, if they would have told me at the beginning, you won't start seeing a paycheck for 24 months, I think I would have felt like, I'm out of it. I can't do this. And as it went on and on, you start to wonder, how long is this going to go? And God's putting, well, more patience needs to be put in you, more steadfastness, more endurance, because things sometimes take time. And the Bible says, if you faint not, you'll reap. Galatians 6 tells you that. So we need endurance. We need patience. How does it get put in you? Through tests. Through tests. And it was put in me, the necessary downloads and updates. And I'll just tell you, again, this is only because of what he put in me. I can't remember the last financial test that came across my desk, personally or for this church, that ever moved me. Since what I went through. You go through $2,000 a month short every single month, watch God pay all your bills through the faith that you have, and pay off $60,000 worth of debt during that time, and tell me it wouldn't do something for you. It put things in me to believe God big. $100,000 for a sprinkler system? Big whoop! I just watched him create miracles for 24 months. Things were put in me, praise God. Hallelujah! It's the truth. And so this test and trial that you're going through, don't try to get out of it. Don't run from it. Don't grumble about it. Count it joy. Things are being put in you for great, great victories. And last but not least, we'll read verse 2 through 4 again. My brethren, count it joy when you fall into divers temptations. James chapter 1, verse 2. Knowing this, the trying of your faith produces or works patience, endurance, steadfastness. But let patience have her. Look at that kind of, what kind of work is it? Perfect work. That you may be perfect, complete, entire, wanting or lacking nothing. Listen to what it says in the Amplified. Let endurance, steadfastness, and patience have full play and do a thorough work, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed, with no defects, lacking in nothing. Listen to what it says in the Message Bible. Don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Oh, I just wish this would end. You don't want to end if the correct downloads weren't put in you. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Number four. Number one was what? Start with the right mindset. Number two was what? Count it joy. Number three told you how you can count it joy. Why can I count it joy? Things you need desperately are being put in you. Number four, here we go. Tests lead to greater things because the Bible says in the midst of the test, you're being perfected. You know why we lack in certain areas? It's not on His end. He's not ever the problem. You know who the problem is? Us. We're the imperfect beings who doubt and complain at times, who don't bring our faith to a situation where we need to bring our faith. He's the perfect God. Things need to be put in us and perfected in us. I want to show you something. Go to 1 Samuel 17, 34. 1 Samuel 17, 34. Now remember, just like in school, when you pass the test, it led to good things. Good grades, keep your parents happy, you can go on to the next grade, right? There was some sort of an advancement or reward. Well, we know in the Bible, we see different times when there's great tests, that on the other side of a great test, we see it when Abraham was told to go on the mountain with his son. It was a great test, but on the other side of that test was a great blessing. When Jesus was in the water in Mark chapter 4 and there was a great storm that almost seemingly was going to kill them, they went through that test, and what was on the other side of that test? They delivered a man that was possessed by the devil and set him free. Amen. Amen. There was always great victory on the other side of tests. Remember, the adversary stand at the door. Why? To keep you out of your victory. So with great tests come great victory. Now, 1 Samuel 17 and verse 34, this is when David, the shepherd boy, was going to go up against the champion of war in battle in Goliath. The odds makers would have had Goliath heavily, heavily favored. He was gigantic. He was skilled. He had all the equipment. He had fought before. And here was this little shepherd boy that showed up to the battle with no armor and 5 stones. Does not look good naturally. And 1 Samuel 17, 34 says, and David said to Saul, now remember, Saul is telling David, you can't fight this guy. He's a champion of war. You're just a little boy. You're a shepherd boy. And David said something. Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him, delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Your servant both killed the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine, or Goliath by name, is going to be just like the bear and the lion. Now, what's David showing us? That in the test of the bear and in the test of the lion, things were put in him, the correct downloads and updates, to go into a greater test, which was Goliath. But here's what I want you to see. That preparation for the greater test led to the greatest influx of blessing he'd ever walked into. So let's pass this test that we're in right now to go into some things. But what we get out of this test by passing is going to put things in us for the next test that's coming. Remember, Jesus said tribulations, that when we get to the next test, that behind that test is even greater. We are ready, praise God. I want to show you this now. So David said, the bear and the lion put stuff in me that shows me I'm taking him down too. He didn't start with Goliath. He started with the lion and the bear. But look at 1 Samuel 17 and verse 20. I'm almost done. Hold on. Hold on with me. I mean, you don't even have to drive home tonight. Hold on. You're going to make it. Praise God. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 20. Kids don't have to be to school tomorrow. There's no sports on. I mean, I have a captive audience right now. I mean, maybe your favorite TV show's on, but we got you tonight. We got you. Where are you going to go? Stay with me here. Stay with me. 1 Samuel 17, 20. David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistine had put the battle in array, army against army. So there's the Israel army and the Philistine army, and they're in a battle. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. So David goes and finds his brothers there fighting this battle. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spoke according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. So there's your picture. The whole army of Israel is fleeing from one man. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man, verse 25, that has come up? Surely to defy Israel, he has come up, and it shall be. Now listen to this now. Remember, because what's Pastor Mike telling you? You got to get ready for the test, because on the other side of the test, we need to pass this test to walk into great blessings. But what this test right now, you're still alive, ladies and gentlemen. Remember what I told you, we're not stopping in 2020. Our finances are going to go to a different place. Our health and our bodies are going to a different place. Things in our family and our kids and our business, we're not stopping to where we were before. We're going into greater, which means tests are going to come. But if we can pass this one, we'll get the necessary downloads and updates. And when we face the greater test that's trying to hide the greater victory, oh man, we are ready. We are ready, praise God. It says, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that's come up to defy the Israel? He has come up, and it shall be that the man that kills him, the king, will enrich him with great riches. Well, how many of you know King Saul had some money, had some stuff, had some wealth. He says, I'm not giving you the pauper's riches. Whoever can kill this guy gets the richest man in the land's riches. From his home. Amen. It's one thing if someone says, we're going to bless you out of Pastor Mike's bank account. It's another thing if someone says, well, you're going to have free pickings out of President Donald Trump's bank account. He said, this is the king's riches. He said, they'll get blessed with the king's riches and will give him his daughter. He gets to marry the king's daughter, puts him in a whole line of royalty with his family, his kids, changes his whole future and generations to come because he married into royalty and make his father's house free in Israel. No more taxes. But wait a minute. To get there, you got to pass a test. There's great things that await us. And so many people fail in the midst of the test. So many people run and hide. So many people grumble and moan and groan and complain when faith is the victory. Well, we know the story. David got past that test. But how did David get past that test? Remember? He got necessary downloads and updates back in the field with the lion and the bear. I took them down. God already showed me what he's going to do back there. When I talk about my testimony, what am I trying to tell you? God showed me what he'd do for me for 24 straight months with no income. You think anything that comes my way now, I'm even thinking he's not on the scene? He's there, man. He's there, praise God. How bad do you want what's on the other side? How bad do you want what's on the other side? If you want what's bad enough, you'll do what's right to take the test. I have my motorcycle's license. Not sure if many of you know that, but you know, I could hop on a Harley now and just go, and I love it, enjoy it. It's so much fun. But man, it did not start like that. I got a Suzuki 550 from up in Buffalo, and got that and started to ride that. Well, I wanted to be able to just go free on my bike by myself. Well, first you got to pass, get your permit, and then when you get your permit, you can't ride alone. You got to ride with people, and then you got to take a test. You got to pass the test. Well, I was nowhere to even be on. I wanted to get to. There's a place I wanted to get, but I wasn't even close to it. I was having trouble with the whole clutch and the. And so I parked it in my barn. The guy that went and picked it up for me parked it in the barn. And so I would sit on that motorcycle because I couldn't get it without stalling the thing out. There were several times, you see these on America's Funniest Home Videos. Thank God the barn was kind of enclosed with stuff around. So sometimes I'd get it, I don't know what happened, if I'd grab the clutch or grab the throttle too much and take off in the barn, slam into something, and tip the bike over. Have to get off, pick that thing up. This happened several times. Twice I wrecked it on the road because I didn't know how to do it. I was coming down a hill and like the smart guy that I was back then, you know, coming down a hill, and there was a bunch of gravel on the side of the road. And you know how when you turn right, sometimes you don't stay right in your lane, you kind of sometimes go to the right? Well, that's okay when you got four wheels. But on a motorcycle, I went and did that and kaplat right on the ground. Gravel all in my arms and everywhere else. Kept tipping the thing over twice. There were times that I'd tip it over, just sit, you know, just not paying attention. It would get leaning one way, and I couldn't hold it up. Just kept messing up, going through trial. Well, but I wanted what was at the end. I wanted to be able to get on a motorcycle and just ride free by myself wherever I wanted to go. That's what I wanted to do. And so what did I do? I decided, you know what? I'm going to stay in this test. I'm going to persevere of this test. I'm going to make it through this test. I'm going to get past this thing. I'm going to become proficient on a motorcycle. I'm going to be able to do figure eights. I'm going to be able to do whatever I need to do on this thing. And I passed it. Praise God. How bad do you want financial freedom? How bad do you want to get to what God has for you? These tests are the proving ground. I'm not saying God put the test there, but I'm saying what you go through, and if you do it right, you'll get the right things to get past the next one. Amen. Amen. You need to go back to Sunday morning and listen to my message if you're going through a financial thing right now. And you need to get that so in your heart that God is your provider, that He wants to provide for you. And get so sold out on that, no matter what you see, no matter what you hear, no matter what you encounter on your calculator, you know, I'm going to be victorious. And I want to just correct people here real quick. Let me just say this before we close. How about we start declaring where we're headed and not where we're at? I hear a lot of people say, well, I'm losing this and this is going to happen. And some people you don't hear it all the time. And some you hear fear in their voice and worry and what am I going to do? You're not in faith. How about we start declaring what the Bible says, which, if you remember, there was a man named by the name of Job. And Job had things stolen from him. Job had everything taken from him. Well, when that got turned around, Job didn't return back to a lesser place. Job didn't get returned back to an equal place. Job got double for his trouble. So how about you, instead of sprinkling doubt and unbelief all over your situation, worry and fear and anxiety over your situation, how about you reach into the other pocket, pull out a little faith, start sprinkling faith on your situation, and start saying, I don't care what my 401k does. It's not only going to get back to where it was, it's going to go further than where it was. All the money that I lost in this, God is going to restore it to me, and then some. He did that with the children of Israel. When they marched out of Egypt, they marched out with all the gold and silver, all the riches. Amen. Walked right out. Oh yeah, God restored them for all those years of slavery. If you'll give Him your faith, He sees what you're going through. He sees your bank account. He sees your business. Why do you just accept what the business says and what the numbers say and what the doctor's report says? Maybe we should start accepting what He says. He's a God of restoration. He's a God of increase. He's a God of more than enough. Yeah, it might look a little rocky and rolly right now. roller coaster right now, but so what? It ain't the end. Declare with me, I'm going to make it, and I'm going to make it with flying colors. I'm going to pass. I'm going to be in a better situation. When the dust settles, I'm going to have a testimony.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. When the dust settles, and everything going on in the church, and the things that come against this right now, and what can be the ramifications that could happen in a local church, all that stuff, no. This church will be stronger and better. The people will be more unified, will be increased more, will be ready to go win the world for Jesus. Start saying that about your business. We'll be better than we ever were when the dust settles. Our personal finances, don't worry, they're taking a hit right now. We'll be better. Our business, right now, it looks a certain way, and when we log into Charles Schwab or whoever you're looking at, that'll rebound, and it'll rebound better. He did it for Job, he'll do it for me. If he did it for me and Job, he'll do it for you. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, thank you for infusing us with faith tonight. Father, we have been helped. Lord, there is a lot out there right now that is talking to us, that's telling us, what are you going to do? How are you going to make it? What if this goes on and on? What if this never stops? What if it's 2 years? What if it's 18 months? What if it's 6 months more of this? How are you going to pay your bills? What are you going to do? Well, Father, with Sunday's message and this message paired together, we have our answers of what we're going to do and the outcome. Father, we're going to be a church that during this time, not only as a whole, but as individual believers that are going to pass these tests. We are charging towards the giant. David didn't cower and go tiptoeing into that battle. The Bible says David sprinted towards that test. Jesus didn't go tiptoeing, cowering into the wilderness. He walked in knowing, when I come out of this thing, I'm going to be stronger. And he was. The Bible says that the angels came and ministered to Jesus, and he was infused with power from the Holy Ghost. I'm saying right now that me, this church, and all the believers associated with this, that are going through things, that are facing things, that are being touched some way naturally by what's going on, we are going to make it. We are going to pass. We are going to be victorious. And when the dust settles, we'll be in a better position than we were ever in. I encourage you, church, declare that with me. Be declaring that with me. You'll have what you say, Mark 11:23 says. Now, Father, I thank you. Now, I encourage everybody to be listening real close to what I'm about to say. The Bible says that in Jesus, we can have victory. In Jesus, we're not subject to what the world goes through. In Jesus, we can have overcoming. We can have more than conquering. We have greater one in us. But the way for that to happen is you got to have Jesus in you. The way that Jesus comes into your heart is he enters through an invitation. He's not the SWAT team. And he's not a criminal that comes and just barges down the door or breaks in. No, the way Jesus enters into your heart and so that you can step into this place of overcoming, more than conquering lifestyle, is he needs to be invited. And the first thing that's required for an invitation is you must believe in him. Jesus said, if you believe on me, you'll not perish, John 3:16, but have everlasting life. The first thing you must do is believe. Didn't say you have to know everything about him, that you have to know the Bible, that you have to know front and back of everything and be caught up to date on all the stuff, No. Just in your heart of hearts, do you believe in Jesus? What's that mean? I can't explain it in my head, but in my heart, I believe that Jesus is real, that he died on the cross, that he rose again from the dead. If you'll believe that, the Bible says he'll come in. That you're a candidate for salvation, that he wants to, that he says, yes, let's do this thing. And the last thing to complete this transaction is you have to ask him to come in. Faith shows that you're ready, belief shows that you're ready, but asking him seals the deal. The Bible says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, Romans chapter 10. And so the last thing you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I ask you to come into my heart. So if you're listening right now on live stream, now or in the future on an archive, and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you could say, Pastor, I've known of him. I did believe in him, but I've never officially asked him into my life. I want to give you that opportunity. Don't let this moment pass you by. You're not joining this church. You're not becoming a member of anything. You're just saying, you're declaring, well, you are becoming a member of God's family, but you're not naturally joining a group or joining a church. You're just declaring that I believe in him and I want to receive what he has to give me. It's a free gift. So everybody that's listening to this right now, and those of you that are listening online, you say, that's me, I want to receive him, I want to go to heaven, I want to have this victory in me. Well, let's go ahead and let's declare our belief, let's ask him into our heart. Everybody repeat this after me, say, Lord Jesus,
I believe
that you died on the cross for my sin.
I believe
that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before you log off, I want to tell you something important. You don't have to go to, and also there's a blessing coming here that the Lord just put on my heart, that someone's going to receive a supernatural blessing here. So don't log off yet. You don't have to go to church to go to heaven. But the Bible says you need a pastor to learn all that he has for you. Because if you don't know what he has for you, you can't take advantage of it. And so we're here. I'd love to be your pastor when this place opens back up. We encourage you to come here. If you're more closer to Allegheny, encourage you to come on Saturday nights and Tuesday nights, here on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. We encourage you to get a church. And until we open the doors, we encourage you to join us every Wednesday at 6:30 and every Sunday at 10. Now, as I was praying, the Holy Ghost said this, that there's somebody right now that's watching this, and you're having intense back pain right now. Even so much as you were uncomfortable during the service as I was preaching. Now, in Matthew chapter 8, we see Jesus administering healing to somebody, and he wasn't even in their location. The Word of God goes through walls. The Word of God can go through towns and villages. Faith takes it to places. Now, I want you, for that person right now, I want you that's struggling in your body and your back pain is so bad that it was even uncomfortable to sit and listen that long. I want you just to close your eyes and reach your hands forward. We're going to release our faith. I'm not the healer, but Jesus is. And we're going to believe for healing, but I'm asking. I won't give your name if you don't want, but I'm asking for you to give me a testimony, because what's going to happen is you're going to notice a difference. It's going to be like a warm sensation coming into your body. You're going to feel it. It's called the power of God. It's going to hit you. All you need to do is believe it and receive it. So for that person and everybody else that's believing with me, reach forth your hand. Father, in the name of Jesus, we command that pain in that person's back to subside. We command change in the name of Jesus, which is greater than sickness and disease, to go into that person's body and to cause a noticeable change, so much, not minor change, that they know that they know they were hit and touched by the power of God. Father, we thank you. It's your will. And when we ask your will, we know it's done. So we thank you for that testimony. I'm excited. Please don't keep us in the dark. Again, I won't give your name if you don't want. But let us know who you are and say, Pastor, I received that. He's faithful. Said, tell us, let us know what happened so we can let other people know so their faith can be built up. But let's just stand up together and let's worship him. Father, we praise you tonight. We love you. We glorify you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. I will see you Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. I love and appreciate you. See you then.